With me in your Bible, we're turning together to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. We just want to start at the first verse of Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, verse 1, let's hear the word of the Lord together. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessing then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. We'll end our reading there, the end of verse 13, and we do trust that the Lord would be pleased to bless his word to your hearts today. Amen. Well, can I ask you please to turn with me in your Bible to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, where we have been studying in recent weeks. We just want to read a few verses together from this chapter, and it does tie in very well with the section that we read a few moments ago in Romans chapter 4. But we're reading from Galatians chapter 3 and commencing just at the verse 6. Galatians chapter 3 and the verse 6. Let's hear the word of the Lord. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. We'll end the reading there at the end of verse 9, and trusting the Lord to bless even the reading of this short section into our hearts. Let's bow together in prayer as we come to consider the word just now. Let's pray, and do pray that the Lord would minister to you. Our God, we come to thee recognizing our great need of the Spirit of God to come. I confess that I have no strength or power within myself by nature that would make this portion to be of benefit to all of our souls. We need thee to come in thy might and in thy power. We need thee to take up the word and cause it to have impact and cause it to work with power in each of our hearts. O God, we have great need of thee. Even as we would look to come again to this portion, we need thee to set our eyes afresh upon the gospel. We need thee to build us up in the truth. We need thee through these things to conform us to Christ. And so, Lord, come and be merciful to us. Speak to thy people and bring us closer to our Saviour, even as we consider the gospel. And speak, Lord, to any who perhaps are yet in their sin. O God, we ask that thou would bring them to know Christ, whom to know is life eternal. So be with us now. Undertake in this season. We ask for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. There are few men seen as being so important in religious history as Abraham. In fact, I think it was a census from, or some sort of data from 2005 that I came across. And in that, it was estimated that about 54% of the world's population claims to belong, at least in an outward sense, to a so-called Abrahamic religion. I say a so-called Abrahamic religion. Judaism puts great stock in Abraham, since he is the founding father, if you like, of the Jewish people. Christians put great stock in Abraham. We see in him a tremendous example of one who came to the Lord, who looked to Christ or to the Lord by faith and followed the Lord, one through whom also ultimately the Saviour, Jesus Christ, came. Islam puts great stock in Abraham as well, since he is the father of Ishmael, from whom they claim their line to come. And so many people see Abraham as of vital importance, and many peoples try to lay claim to Abraham. Abraham is of vital importance. In Abraham, we do see a tremendous example of God's dealing with man. And in Abraham, we discover how a man might be deemed righteous before the holy God. Through Abraham, we see the tremendous blessings that God has to give unto his people. Now, if you remember, in the last few verses of this chapter that we were looking at, in verses 1 through to 5, Paul has been arguing here about the fact that we are justified with God, declared righteous, by faith alone, not of works, and that our standing with God does not stand or fall based upon our own endeavours. He's been arguing that truth from the past experience of the believers in Galatia. He was asking them about their origins. How was it with you at the first, he was saying, and he was showing that the same principles follow through. They were saved initially by faith, and therefore they stand today still by faith. But any argument that rests solely in our own experience is quite a weak argument. Our teaching, our theology, is not just built upon what we experience, although that does factor into things. No, it's also important that our teaching is rooted in Scripture and is found very firmly there. And that is what Paul seeks to do now. He has been arguing from the experience of the believers in Galatia. Now he is turning to argue from biblical history. And he's going to argue from particularly the Old Testament Scriptures that salvation is by faith alone. Now, his point here particularly is that the gospel which he preaches, and the gospel which we still preach today, even from this pulpit, is not something that was new at the time of Christ. It was not a new teaching after the Saviour came and went to the cross. Rather, Paul is showing here, as we will see, that it is the same message that was proclaimed even back in Old Testament times. To prove this, to show this, Paul turns to this important individual, Abraham. Abraham. I want you firstly to notice in this little section, notice Abraham's righteousness. Abraham's righteousness. Paul draws attention to that right away. He says in verse 6, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. It was accounted to him for righteousness. So notice Abraham's righteousness. First of all, we could think about the securing of this righteousness. The securing of it. How was Abraham made righteous? How did Abraham gain God's favor? Now that was a very important question, because the Judaizers who were causing such trouble in Galatia were putting a lot of emphasis on circumcision. They were really saying that if you want to be a child of God, you have to follow the example of Abraham. And after all, they were saying, Abraham was circumcised, so you need to be circumcised as well. You need to adopt the Jewish custom. You need to adopt these extra things in order to secure your salvation. It's not enough to simply rest in Christ. You need to be circumcised too, like Abraham was, is what they were saying. In fact, the Judaizers were really misusing the Old Testament. They were misunderstanding it, so that they thought circumcision was part of what saved Abraham. They thought that it was vital to his salvation. They were arguing that just as Abraham was circumcised, so the Gentile believers of Galatia must be circumcised as well if they want to be God's people. Well, here Paul is bringing the people back to see how God dealt with Abraham. How did Abraham become righteous before God? How did he attain this? The Judaizers would have been quick to bring people back to Genesis 17. And in Genesis 17, that's where God made a covenant with Abraham. And in that place, he gave the seal of circumcision. And I suppose they loved to point people to Genesis 17. God had commanded Abraham to be circumcised. And they were using this to argue for the importance of circumcision from Genesis 17. But Paul brings them back even further than that here. Paul brought them back to Genesis 15. And that's where God gave the promise of a child to Abraham. Before we get there, God gave a few different promises to Abraham. In Genesis chapter 12, for example, where we're early on when we're introduced to Abraham, you read of the Lord calling Abraham to leave his father's house to go into the land that the Lord would show him, and the Lord had promised to make him a great nation. And you find on that occasion that Abraham had obeyed. He had believed God's promise. He had obeyed God's call. In fact, the little commentary that you have on Abraham's life in Hebrews chapter 11, it tells you that he did it by faith. It says in verse 8 of Hebrews 11, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he obeyed. That was Genesis 12. The Lord called him, follow me, and gave him promises to make him a great nation. But then you come to Genesis 15 and verse 5. And there the Lord came to Abraham. And it says in verse 5, he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Now at the time that seemed like an utterly ridiculous thing to say, because at the time Abraham had no children, and he and his wife were past childbearing age, and the natural response would be to say, well, that's impossible. That can't be done. What do you mean? My seed will be as the multitude of the stars. It can't be done. And yet you read of Abraham's response in Genesis 15 verse 6. It says, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And that's the verse that Paul is quoting here in Galatians 3. In verse 6, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Now, Paul's point is that even here in Genesis 15, it is observed in this forefather of the Jewish people that his righteousness was received by faith. He believed in God, in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. This was before God had ever given the seal of circumcision. This was before he had any other Jewish legal obligations to keep. He came and simply believed. By simple faith, he was counted righteous. Be very clear on this. Be very clear. God's way of salvation has never changed since Adam's fall in the garden. There are some people, even today, and they are inclined to read the Old Testament, and they come to the conclusion that God's people in the Old Testament were saved through some other way. They were saved perhaps through law-keeping or abiding by all the ceremonies of the Jewish system. They believe that human effort and endeavor saved people back then. That has never been God's way. God has only ever had one way of salvation from start to finish. It is by faith. That's what we see here in Abraham. Here's Abraham very early on in the gospel record. And how is he saved? How does he become righteous before God? Faith. This is God's appointed way. This has always been God's appointed way. There has never been another way unto God. Therefore, how important that you come to God by this way. How important that you come by faith to the Lord. Nothing else will do. Nothing else ever has been able to bring you unto God. Nothing else has ever been able to see you counted righteous before the Lord. Faith has always, always been God's way. And it's God's way today. Righteousness before God is secured by faith. But that leads us on to the next thing that's addressed here. As we're thinking of Abraham's righteousness, notice the sort of this righteousness. The sort of this righteousness. What type of righteousness is this? In theological terms, we can speak of a few different types of righteousness. And it is important to grasp what exactly we're thinking about here when we say Abraham achieved this righteousness. Notice that here in verse 6 you read, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. It was accounted to him. Notice that phrase. The Greek word there is in the aorist tense, which is the tense used for something done in the past at one specific moment in time, never needing to be repeated. It was done very definitely at that point, and that's it done in the past. Well, that's the tense here. So at one particular time in the past, Abraham was or had accounted this to him for righteousness. The word itself means to reckon or to count. And the point is here that in seeing Abraham's faith, God counted or considered him to be righteous. To put it in financial terms, it is as if Abraham had a bank balance that was heavily in the negative, heavily overdrawn, in great debt. And yet, as soon as the Lord saw faith in him, the Lord, as it were, transferred a great amount into that bank account, so that now, rather than a tremendous debt, now there is a tremendous surplus. It's not a perfect picture, but it's something like that. The Lord gives this on to him. He accounts him. He puts it upon him. He accounts him as righteous. Now, what is being said here then, what this is showing you, is that this righteousness was what we call an imputed righteousness. It was a righteousness that was given to him, that was put upon his account, so that when God looks at Abraham, he reckons him to be righteous. We sometimes talk about an inherent righteousness or a personal righteousness. That is a righteousness that actually belongs to us and stems from us, from a life of good living and so on. It's something that we don't have by ourselves because we're sinners. Abraham did not have it himself. He was not righteous in and of himself. He had no inherent or personal righteousness. He was a sinner, just like you and like me, and the Bible doesn't gloss over his sin. For example, on two different occasions, you read in Scripture of how he was deceptive concerning his relationship with his wife, and apart from the grace of God, he could have done very great damage in his family. Abraham was not a perfect man. He was a sinner like you and like me. He did not have any inherent righteousness to himself. So he didn't have this. That's not what this righteousness is that's being spoken of in Galatians 3, verse 6. This was a righteousness that was imputed to him, given to him, put upon his account. You know, in their teaching on justification, the Roman Catholic Church would teach about the idea of infused righteousness. They would teach that the righteousness of Christ is gradually infused or put into the believer, and, well, they like to tie it all into the sacraments of the church. This infused righteousness can supposedly be gradually weakened if a believer lives in sin, and it can be increased by good works. And really, it boils down to the Roman Catholic saying that you have to cooperate with God's grace, you have to do your works, and that through this means, grace or righteousness is gradually put into you. That's got nothing to do with justification, according to the Bible. That's not the doctrine of justification in the Bible. It's not scriptural. In fact, it is utterly contradicted here. This righteousness which Abraham received, it was not infused into him. It's not here speaking of the fact that Abraham was suddenly made to be perfectly righteous, as if he had no sin anymore. That's not what it's saying. It's saying here that this righteous merit was credited to his account, so that despite his sin, he was viewed as righteous. And as I say, this was not gradually given. I told you this is in the aorist tense. It was a one-time thing done in the past. This was done in a single moment of time. When God saw Abraham's faith, God counted him as a righteous one. This was imputed, given to him. You know, if you're going to grasp the gospel, you have to have some sort of understanding of this. Firstly, that you do not possess any righteousness of your own. There's nothing inherently righteous in you or in me. We don't have any. We're sinners, we're defiled, we're from the head to the foot, full of wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. We do not have this inherent righteousness. You have to understand too that we are not called upon to, as it were, cooperate with God and mix our works with faith in order to gradually earn a right standing with the Lord. Rather, it is as you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It is as you simply by faith take God at his word and rest upon his promise, the promise contained in the gospel, that then, in that moment, coming by faith, you will be credited as righteous, viewed by God, reckoned as righteous. By nature, we are bankrupt. We have no spiritual stock. We are paupers before God. And what a thrilling thing it is that if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he credits you, he imputes to you the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Abraham received this righteousness as he simply looked to the Lord by faith. And the simple faith in the Lord was counted to him as righteousness. You can receive this righteousness if you haven't already. And what a thrilling thing that is. The gospel is simple. You're called to simply look to the Lord by faith. And God will count you as a righteous one. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Notice in the second place here, Abraham's gospel. We thought of Abraham's righteousness, but notice Abraham's gospel. We said that Abraham was saved the same way that you and I are called to be saved, that is, through simple faith. But what was it that Abraham actually had to believe? What message was it that Abraham received? Well, Galatians 3, verse 8 gives us something of this. It introduces us to Abraham's gospel. It says in verse 8, "And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed." Notice the words "preached before the gospel." Those are the translation of one Greek word, and it literally means to announce the good news in advance. To announce the good news in advance. And it's directly linked to the word that's always used in the New Testament with regard to the gospel. Essentially here, Paul is saying that Abraham received the same gospel message that you and I receive, even though he received it in advance. That is, he received it before Jesus Christ actually came. But it was the same gospel message. You know, in the famous cycling race, the Tour de France, the last stage of that race, as I'm sure you know, it's conducted over many days. And when it comes to the last stage of the race, it is never contested. There's never a battle as to who is leading. It's always more of a procession than a proper race, if you like. And so it means that whoever is in the lead at the end of the second last day is already more or less guaranteed to win that race. I think if I remember right, in this recent Tour de France that has gone by, Chris Froome was in that position. He was in the lead at the end of the second last day. Now really, the race had not been completed yet. But if you had been there at the finish line of the stage, the second last day, if you had been there and you had seen him cross the line and you recognise he's in the lead, you would be entitled to go and run to his family, perhaps, and you would be able to say to them, "Have you heard the good news? Chris Froome has won the Tour de France." Now, strictly speaking, he hasn't won it just yet. He doesn't win it until the next day. But because the next day is never contested, it is a sure thing. He essentially has already won, even though the race hasn't finished yet. And so you can proclaim the good news with certainty beforehand. He's won the race, even though that is still to happen the next day. Well, that's something of the sense here. You see, it was a sure thing that Christ was going to win the victory at the cross. Therefore, although the deed had not yet been accomplished, although it had not yet been done, God could declare to Abraham the good news. Abraham received the same gospel message that you and I receive. He heard the gospel of the coming Messiah who would bruise the head of the serpent's seed. He received the gospel message. He simply received it before Christ had accomplished his work in time. Now, the particulars of this message are given in verse 8. It says that the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, and here's the content, "In thee shall all nations be blessed." In thee shall all nations be blessed. Now, the particular reference there is to the words of Genesis chapter 12, when God first called Abraham out of his home country. In Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1, you read, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, into a land that I will show thee." And in that verse, the Lord is essentially calling Abraham to faith and repentance. Faith, to follow God wherever he will lead, no matter what. And repentance, a turning from his old way of life. And so it is a gospel call. But then he attaches great promises with this gospel call. "I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee, make thy name great. Thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee." And then it comes to the climax of the promise, and it says, "And in thee," in verse 3, "shall all families of the earth be blessed." In thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And that's what's quoted here in Galatians 3. In thee shall all nations be blessed. Abraham, when he heard that, would have understood it as a promise of the Redeemer. Abraham would have known something of the promised Messiah. God gave his first promise of the Messiah to Adam and Eve in the garden when he said that the seed of the woman would come and bruise the head of the serpent's seed. So Abraham and the people in that day were looking for a coming Messiah. But here, when God tells him, "In thee shall all families of the earth be blessed," Abraham sees this as a promise of that Messiah. You've got to remember, there were plenty of other families alive upon the earth at that time. And there are plenty of people today that do not directly descend from Abraham. And the question is, how could all the families of the earth be blessed through Abraham? How could this be accomplished? The only way is to recognize this for what it was. It was a promise of the Savior. God was telling Abraham that the Savior was going to come through his family line. In fact, later on in Genesis 22, verse 18, the Lord restated his promise, and he gives it a little bit more detail. In Genesis 22:18, it says, "And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." And Paul picks up on that phrase, "and in thy seed," and makes mention in the New Testament. He's not talking about seeds multiple, he's talking of one particular seed, one particular person. It is the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. "In thy seed," in the Savior, "shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." Abraham received this as a promise of the coming Savior. And recognizing it as a promise of the Savior, Abraham believed. He believed and rested in the Savior. And he was accounted righteous. He rested in the promise of God before Christ had ever come. It was enough for Abraham that God had spoken. That was enough. God has spoken, so it will be done, and I can rest in it. And he did rest in it. Today, I wonder where you stand. Is your faith placed in the Lord Jesus Christ? And if not, is it not enough for you that you have received not only the promise of God, like Abraham did, but as well as that, you can look back at history, and there is the record in history of the time when Jesus Christ has come and has already done the work at the cross. He has already died there in the place of sinners in history. You don't have to look forward like Abraham and trust that God will keep his word. God has already kept his word. God has already sent the Savior. Christ has already come and worked out redemption. You don't have to look to the future for this. It's already accomplished. Is it not enough for you then? I tell you, it was enough for Abraham. It was enough for him that God had spoken and given the promise. And resting by faith in the promise, he was accounted righteous. Will you come and rest in the promise and in the reality from history that Christ has come, he has died for sinners, and he welcomes you to himself? That you're welcome to come through faith, as Abraham came through faith. Will you do what Abraham did, if you haven't already? Will you believe God that it might be accounted to you for righteousness? Abraham's righteousness and Abraham's gospel. Notice in the final place, Abraham's children. Abraham's children. First of all, notice their identity. This is the real crux of Paul's argument, if you like. Who are the children of Abraham? I mean, I mentioned at the start of the message all these different groups who claim Abraham as one of their own. The Jews claim to be the children of Abraham. Those of Islam, those following Muslim teaching, would put great stock in Abraham and count him as a great, if you like, forefather of their faith, although they're utterly wrong in that. We certainly would look to claim Abraham as our own, we who are the children of God, we who are saved by grace. Who are the children of Abraham? Those troubling the Galatian believers, the Judaizers, they were very confident that they were the children of Abraham. And it was something of a boast among the Jewish people to be Abraham's seed. To be a child of Abraham was equivalent in their mind to being a child of God. The Jews often assumed that because they were children of Abraham, they automatically had God's favor. And in fact, in John chapter 8, during the ministry of Christ, in verse 32, Christ told a group of Jews that if they continued in his word, then the truth would make them free. They responded with a little bit of confusion, maybe even anger against that. The truth will make us free. They said in verse 33 of John 8, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" And essentially they're saying, "What are you talking about, made free? We don't need to be made free. We're not in bondage to man, and we are Abraham's children, so we're not in bondage to God. What do you mean, free? Free from what? We're not in bondage. We are Abraham's children." You see, they assumed that because they descended from Abraham ethnically, that they were children of God. And the same thinking was in the mind of these Judaizers in Galatia. They thought that the Gentiles, if they wanted to have God's favor, had to become children of Abraham. And the way to do it was to be circumcised into the Jewish religion. Paul here shows, he argues for, who are the true children of Abraham in the eyes of God? Who are they? He says in verse 7, "Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham." And the point is, those who are truly following in Abraham's heritage, those who are coming to God by faith, are those who are considered Abraham's children. He is emphasizing this, that no one gains the favor of God on the basis of their ethnicity or on the basis of their parents. God's favor is gained by faith. There were plenty of Jews who boasted in being Abraham's descendants. But in that occasion in John chapter 8, in verse 44, he turned round to a group of them and he said, "Ye are of your father Abraham? No, ye are of your father the devil." Yes, they may have been ethnically from Abraham. Yes, they may have been ethnically the Jewish people. Yes, they had been blessed with all the covenants and promises and blessings given down through the generations to the people of God. They had grown up amongst this great system, and yet they were not considered by God children of Abraham. They were coming to God a different way. They were of their father, the devil. Spiritually speaking, these people had no claim upon Abraham. His children are the ones who follow in his steps. His children are the ones who come unto God on the same terms through which Abraham came. Those who come by faith. Those in Galatia who came to God by faith, though they might be Gentiles, though they might be uncircumcised, they had more claim to be the children of Abraham than the Judaizers did, even though they had their ethnicity, they were Jewish background, even though they were circumcised. Believing Gentiles had more of a claim to be children of Abraham. I want you to take something important from this. It is such a reminder to us that none of us have salvation because of our upbringing or because of parents' salvation. It is only, well, I should say, if you have had the upbringing in a Christian home, that is a tremendous blessing. Oh, that's not to be despised. God has highly favored you by giving you an upbringing in a Christian home. But even for that, it is only when you come to God the same way that your parents did, if they're saved. It is only when you come to God through the same way that they came, by faith, personal faith, looking onto Jesus, it is only then that you can know truly the blessing that your parents have known. You can belong to a Christian family. You can attend a faithful Christian church. You can befriend many godly Christian people. But unless you come to faith in Christ, unless by faith alone you personally approach unto God to receive the gift of salvation which he gives, then you have no claim upon Christ. Those who were the children of Abraham were those who came to God by faith. That's who God considers Abraham's children. Today, though a Gentile, though uncircumcised, though being outside of Jewish custom, you have, if you're saved today, you have a claim to be a child of Abraham, that ethnic Jews, ethnic Israel, who do not accept Christ, cannot claim. I'm not going into the prophecies and so on as to what lies in store for Israel in days to come, but I will say this. Until ethnic Israelites come to a faith in Christ, they are not the children of God. Now, I'm not saying God will not bless that nation in days to come. That's not what I'm saying. But God's blessing is always through Christ. Until they come to faith in Christ, they are not the children of God. And until you come to faith in Christ, you are not the child of God. But when you come to God by faith, oh, then the blessing of God is yours. Notice the inheritance of these children. Their inheritance. Verse 9 tells us of the inheritance or the blessings for those who come to God by faith. We read in verse 9, "So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham." They are blessed with faithful Abraham. The point is that everything which was promised to Abraham is granted to those who come unto God the way Abraham came. Abraham was highly privileged by the Lord. He was privileged to hear the call of the gospel, and he was privileged through the gospel to be blessed abundantly. But the same blessings are yours today if you are coming to God the way Abraham came. If you're coming by faith, faith alone in Christ, if that is so, then you are blessed with Abraham. If you, a Gentile, come unto God as Abraham came, be sure of it, you're not a second-class citizen in God's kingdom. You're not second to ethnic Jews who are saved. No, they are no more highly favored than you. We Gentiles, though there was a time when Gentiles were far off from God, we Gentiles who have been brought to faith in Christ are gathered in with believing Jews so that we are blessed with faithful Abraham. When God gave the blessing of the gospel to Abraham, it was that through his seed, the Messiah, all nations of the earth would be blessed. And today, the gospel goes out to you, even in this, a Gentile country, and the invitation that God gave to Abraham, it comes to you. Abraham responded well. He believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And believing God, he received the blessings that God is pleased to give. How will you respond? How do you respond? How have you responded? Have you believed God? Have you believed the promise? Have you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, if your faith is in Christ today, then the Lord has imputed to you, he has given to you righteousness. Your account is good in the sight of God. He looks upon you and he sees the righteousness of Christ. It is accounted yours. And along with it, all the blessings that he gives. Life, eternal life, peace with himself. It's all achieved through faith. This is how Abraham came. Even back then in those Old Testament days, Abraham believed God. He came by faith. And this is how you must come as well. Now let me close this by, I want to refer you to a children's song, which, to be honest with you, I'm not overly fussed on myself, but it's one that I used to sing in the Methodist church that I was partly brought up in. And it goes like this. It says, Father Abraham had many sons, and many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you, so let's all praise the Lord. I think the reason I'm not fussed on it is that it tends to go into some sort of crazy version, Christian version of the hokey cokey, and you're putting your arms and legs in everywhere. But setting that bit aside, there is great truth in that verse. Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you, so let's all praise the Lord. But the question is, and I trust it's the case that you can answer this right, the question is, are you? Are you a child of Abraham? Does God see you as coming the way Abraham came, one following in his heritage? Are you coming by faith? Have you believed in Christ? Are you one of Abraham's many sons? If so, then salvation and all the blessings that God gave to Abraham, he gives to you. You have a blessed inheritance. It was said of Abraham, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. That's God's record of Abraham. He believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. In eternity, when this scene of time is no more, will the same be said of you? He or she believed God, and it was accounted to them for righteousness. May God bless his word to our hearts today. Amen.